I'd like to begin by thanking our contributors at the David Geffen School of Medicine and UCLA Public Health. This presentation is on evaluating fourth-generation testing for HIV 1 and 2 in a nonprofit setting. I'd especially like to reach out and thank our embedded DIS at our community clinics, Gabriel Petrovera and Claire Barstall with the UCLA Global Health Program, and of course, Dr. Klausner. Just a little background, AIDS Healthcare Foundation, it provides medical service to people with HIV regardless of ability to pay. So we have a patient population around 320,000 people. We also have a very robust medical research department. Our clinics, when they're not operating in the day, we turn them into STD clinics at night. And so in California, at the clinics we rolled this out in, we had a little over 15,000 patient visits. So when you think about the continuum of care, AIDS Healthcare Foundation provides complete wraparound services from testing to linkage and then finally into medical care. Our linkage specialists actually have access to our EMR and are able to, once a patient's diagnosed with HIV, are able to schedule them a medical appointment within 72 hours. So we decided, we had a machine that was being used by medical research in a natural history study, and we decided to actually start rolling that out and providing free fourth generation testing to all MSM in the greater Los Angeles area. And then we also shipped samples down from our Bay Area STD clinics. So this began 30 April 2013, ran for a little over a year, and we did about 3,200 fourth-generation tests through a convenience sample, and then you can see the demographics there. And the demographics match closely to our clinic catchment area, so we had a really good representation. This is the item we're talking about. So our medical research unit was using this machine in a natural history study to identify people with acute HIV infection and then kind of study the progression of the virus as time goes on. It's capable of doing 80 tests an hour, and it can connect to EMRs through any EMR that uses an LNS system. So the medical research unit at AHF offered this to our STD clinic, and we began running tests. So the methods were, you know, we had a current algorithm within our clinics to look for acute infections. And we actually added to that algorithm three components: fourth generation testing for P24 antigen and then HIV antibodies, all for MSM or high risk people, but our sample ended up being all males. And then we have intervention by an embedded DIS. So at our community clinics, we fund two embedded DIS that receive support from Los Angeles County. They're able to go into the surveillance records. And then the third point is our traditional algorithm for acute infections would be a negative rapid, and then we'd follow that up with a nucleic acid pooled. And so once we got a P24 positive, we simply called the county lab. They drew that sample out of the pool. They ran a full viral load, and so it speeded up the whole confirmatory process. So this is the traditional model that we got from Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. This was created by Dr. Peter Kurnt, I believe, around 2006, and is currently the standard of care for most STD clinics in Los Angeles. And it really begins where we have the client comes in, and if they receive a negative rapid, and we use the bioanalytic INSTI, so we get a result in 60 seconds, and then we send 750 cc's of blood to the county. On average, this takes around 12 days to come back. And then, of course, once we get the disclosure, we can go into the linkage to care and partner services. On the new method, we actually, in this time while we were waiting on LA County, we started testing fourth generation P24 antigen antibody. We got those results back so quickly that we were able to give a preliminary disclosure, and the DIS was able to initiate partner services. We would intercept the pooled NAT specimen, request a full viral load, then we can get a confirmatory, get people linked to care and partner services. So under the traditional model, really the soonest we could possibly act was about 10 days when the NAT came back. And then, of course, the soonest we can get a medical appointment was around 15 days. This is an actual case of a high-risk MSM with multiple concurrent partners. Day zero, patient came in, non-symptomatic. We drew the NAT, we drew the P24. Day one, we got the P24 result. The NAT was pulled from the pool. We ordered a full viral load, and this patient had a primary partner who was then notified. By the time we got the confirmatory back, you see they were at 10 million copies. And so this is an acute infection, and this is, of course, when people are most infectious. We were able to get the gentleman a medical appointment on day 12, and this person is currently virally suppressed. So once again, this is where it would have taken if we waited for the county NAT. And then this is this individual's primary partner. The DIS was able to offer partner services. 10 days after the exposure event, we ran both NAT, P24. P24, the result came back the next day, was disclosed as preliminary negative by the DIS, and then, of course, the negative NAT came back at day 14. So you can see that with quick action, this technology allows us to identify acute infections, make them aware of their status, and also initiate partner services in a very, very timely manner. So of the total results, like I said, we did 3,235 fourth-generation tests. 27 of those were either antigen or antibody positive. We identified 8 acute infections. All of those have been linked to care. We had 2 recent infections. These happened to be individuals where we either had a NAT that was a month old or a rapid that was perhaps a month old, but not at the time of initial visit. And then we identified 14 standing long infections and 3 false positives. So this is a t-test looking at the average difference in days between county NAT and then our P24, which of course we were batching to save time and money on reagents. This could actually be improved because the machine can kick out 80 tests an hour. And so we theoretically can give results the same day. And you can see that it was quite significant with an average difference in days about 7.06. So challenges, false positives were a major challenge. We treat everybody who came up reactive on the P24 as a presumptive positive. At that moment, if the client is willing, we would engage linkage services and start the process to get them into care. And so in some instances, this resulted in having to cancel appointments. Like I said previously, we did this in batch runs, so we're running about 3 batch runs a week. Once we get a little more funding for a little more FTE for labor, we'll be able to pick that up. And hopefully, because this only requires refrigerated whole blood, theoretically we could start sending samples from our Southern Bureau divisions, from our Las Vegas clinics, the Bay Area, and Los Angeles, and get pretty good results in a timely manner. One of the issues we ran into is this whole multiple platform thing. we're a patient-centered clinic, and we've been running the algorithm of a rapid and NAP for a long time, and so clients tend to have a lot of value in nucleic acid testing. And so convincing them of the value of P24 antigen was slow at first, but it eventually worked out. And I think now it's part of our standard of care. I think in the future we could forego the rapid test, we could forego the pooled NAP and just run them on the P24, have a result either same day or next day. And then, of course, there's always the vicissitudes of clinic practice, where clients may decide not to have a NAP, may not want to run a rapid, but will still, if they want, run them on the P24. So earliest detection of acute infection should be a priority for any STD clinic. We have shown that we can do significant turnaround time than pooled NAP. And this has really empowered our clinic staff. So rather than waiting on labs now, we can run this in-house. It's energized our STD counselors. Somebody presents with a risk event, we can order a P24 in-house and have that result back in a timely manner. And I see this as a viable model for future STD clinics. I mean, in a sense, the central lab is becoming archaic. If we could, with point-of-care devices, I know many of you have been over to the Cepheid band, but we would like to start doing all of these tests in-house. So I would just like to acknowledge Whitney Andron Cordova, our Senior Director of Public Health, Otto Yang, our Scientific Director, Manny Cortez, who was actually very, very valuable to get this up and running, Albert Ruiz, who directs our Wellness Center programs, Menegor, our Linkage to Care Director, and Michael Zimmerman, who is the clinic manager. Thank you.
The speaker is now open for questions.
Hi, I'm Emily Westheimer from New York City. Can you tell me if you had any acute infections that were found on the pool NAT but missed by the architect?
Well, no, but an instance came up, and this is the vicissitudes of clinic practice. We did have an individual who tested at one of our mobile clinics, our mobile labs, on a rapid negative and reported a risk event. That person came in, drew blood, but at the time they forgot to draw a P24. The pooled NAT came back. It was at 1,200 copies. Subsequent viral load came back, and it was about 8 million copies. So that would have been interesting, where you get these tests, they're just on the edge of nucleic acid testing. And we know that the window period for P24 antigen is about 3 days longer. So,
because in New York we did a head-to-head comparison also of pooled NAT and the architect, and we found that the architect missed about 20% of our acute infections, and so because we have such high morbidity, our policy decision was to continue using pooled NAT.
Right.
But, you know, because of the lower viral load levels aren't picked up by the earliest infections aren't picked up by pooled NAT.
Well, thank you for that.
Any other questions? May I just speak loud? Thank you for the presentation and congratulations on the show. It seems to me the next step would be to start people on ART when you have that P24 positive. We do start to then in acute, and we have an even lesser threshold for post-exposure prophylaxis. So I wonder if you've looked at that in your model about starting on ART while waiting.
Well, obviously, we're starting people on ARTs faster than is the general practice in Los Angeles, but I think that's a good point. And I think, like the individual we showed you, I think it would have been better to get them on meds right away, presumptively treating them. And I think that's something that we've had discussions with the clinic. And so we've just upgraded this machine to also do HCV on the same blood draw. And that one of the discussions also is taking the preliminary positives and putting them on ARTs. So.
Can you repeat the question? generation of quantum gadgets.
So I believe the INSTI by Bioanalytical is a fourth gen. I'm not sure, but that's our standard rapid. But we don't have, this would be the only fourth gen. I guess I wouldn't call this a point of care since it's
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.